Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. We began the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the first 7 verses that we have already discussed, Krishna established the supremacy of Bhakti Yoga and the superiority of a personalist devotee over an impersonalist Brahman worshipper. In the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna asked this question: who is better? Who is most perfect in yoga? Is he an impersonalist who worships the impersonal Brahman, which is Akshara, Avyaya, etc.? Or is he the personalist devotee who worships the personality of Krishna? And Krishna described how the Bhakti Yoga is very sublime and supreme path of spiritualism, and pure devotees of Krishna are most perfect in yoga, and they directly get the reciprocation of Krishna, because Krishna will become their swift deliverer and deliver them from the ocean of birth and death in this material world. On the other hand, the path of impersonal Brahman worshippers is very difficult. Yetvakshara manirdesham avyaktam paripasate sarvatragam achintyam cha kotastham achalam dhruvam sannayam yandre gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhuta hiteerataha. So the impersonal Brahman has various qualities that we described in the 3rd sloka. And to worship the impersonal Brahman, the process that is followed by people in general are this controlling senses, being equipoised, etc., etc. And the path is very troublesome. It's not very easy. Okay. So that much Krishna described. Now, having established bhakti as the supreme path, in the 6th and 7th verses he says, Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha. A pure devotee is one who completely dedicates everything that he does for my pleasure. He is totally dedicated to me. Ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanto upasate. He worships me, he meditates on me, and I become their swift deliverer. I will protect them from this ocean of repeated birth and death. Okay. So having established the supremacy of bhakti, Krishna will now describe different levels of bhakti, beginning from the highest level. If you can't do this, like that. So from 8th shloka we'll discuss. The next 5 shlokas describe the progressive levels of bhakti. 8th shloka.
Mayyeva mana adatsvam.
Mayyeva mana adatsvam.
Mayi buddhim niveshayam.
Mayi buddhim niveshayam.
Naiva shishyasi mayyeva.
Naiva shishyasi mayyeva.
Ata urdham na samshayaham.
Ata urdham na samshayaham.
Mayyeva mana adatsvam. Krishna says, exclusively fix your mind on me. This is the first level. Mayyeva mana adhatsva is the first level.
I'll write here. So now we are discussing 8th shloka. See the first line, 8a. Okay, mayyeva mana adhatsva. Basically, fix your mind on Krishna.
Fine? That is mayyeva mana adhatsva. If you cannot do that, so this mayyeva mana adhatsva is a stage where you are exclusively remembering Krishna always. This is also called smaranatmika bhakti according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
This is smaranatmika bhakti.
Mayyeva mana adhatsva is smaranatmika bhakti. Now, if you cannot fix your mind always on Krishna,
here the pivot is mind. Next level Krishna says, 8b, that is mai buddhim niveshaya. That means fix your intelligence on me, intelligence on Krishna.
Fine. So, if you cannot fix your mind, this is the highest level, topmost level. If you cannot do that, fix your intelligence on Krishna. So that is my buddhim niveshaya. That is contemplate on me, based on what you have heard from the scriptural descriptions. Fine. So this is called mananatmika bhakti.
Okay.
So in this 8th shloka, Krishna describes two levels. If you read Gita Subodhini, I had given this whole thing in the form of a chart with all the three acharyas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Baldev Vidyabhushan and Prabhupada. So all three acharyas are mentioned here. What are their comments on each and every limb of this shloka, of these 5 shlokas. So that we will discuss now. And 8th shloka is describing two levels of bhakti. Mayyeva mana adhatsva vai buddhim niveshaya. Fix your mind on me, which is the topmost stage of bhakti. If you cannot fix that, at least fix your intelligence on me. Why fixing intelligence is considered little lesser than fixing mind? Smaranatmika bhakti is considered superior to mananatmika bhakti. Or fixing mind on Krishna always is considered to fixing intelligence on Krishna. Is higher. This is higher than this. Because somebody may say, intelligence is superior to mind. So fixing intelligence is greater than fixing mind, one may say like that. But mind is more fickle. Intelligence is more steady. Fixing intelligence is little easier compared to fixing mind. Okay. Now you see, the topmost devotees of Krishna are, who are they?
Gopis
of Vrindavan. What are they doing? They are constantly doing this smarana. Okay. Yadohane vahanane mathanopalepa prengkankhanar bharudito kshanamarjanado gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanyavrajastriya urukramachitta yanaham. Yadohane, when they are milking their cows. Vahanane, when they are threshing their grains. Mathana, when they are churning buttermilk. Upalepa, when they are taking cow dung and putting that lep on their walls and floors. Mathanopalepa prengkankhana, when they are swinging on swings. Arbharudita, when they are taking care of their crying babies. Some of them are mothers of small babies also. Marjanado, they are even sweeping the floors or the streets of Vrindavan. Okay. Ukshana, they are sprinkling water mixed with cow dung in the Vrindavan floors. Okay. So while doing all these activities, they are constantly remembering Krishna. They are absorbed in the thought of Krishna. Externally, so many household activities are going on, but internally, meditation on Krishna is going on. They are doing constant smaranam of Krishna. Prengkankhanar bharuditokshana marjanado gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshru kanthyo. Their mind is completely absorbed in Krishna's thoughts. Okay. Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayanaha. The glory of gopis is that their chitta, their consciousness is constantly immersed in the thoughts of Lord Krishna. They are doing constant smaran. So, with your intelligence, with your mind, what do? Thinking, feeling and willing. With your intelligence, you may do planning, scheming, analysis and all that. So, when you are planning or scheming or analyzing things, you are applying your smartness and intelligence. But when you are thinking, feeling and willing, you are applying your heartfelt emotions. So these heartfelt emotions are much more superior than this intellectual analysis. Sometimes your intelligence may say something, but the mind is not accepting it. The emotions are different, right? Your mind is equal to heart. Oftentimes when you say mind, you show here, basically, but heart is here. So here, investing your emotions and thoughts and feelings in Krishna is considered superior to planning for the service of Krishna, okay, with your intelligence. But one thing is, Prabhupada does not make this distinction in this purport. Prabhupada says, Mayyeva manadhatsva, may buddhim niveshaya. Absorbing man and buddhi in Krishna, he considers as one stage. Right. Basically, absorbing your inner self in Krishna. One is absorbing your external self, senses, hands, legs, etc. You engage in service of Krishna. Second, you absorb your inner self in Krishna. That involves mind and intelligence. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives two levels. So absorbing mind is superior to absorbing intelligence. For example, we accept both. For example, you are asked to chant Hare Krishna. 128 rounds today. 128 rounds of Hare Krishna, not 16. So that's basically an activity that you do where you have to control your mind a lot. Because it's not a very intense physical activity, is it not? You don't have to lift big gonies, you don't have to sweat also. Sit at one corner, all you have to do is just moving your lips and then moving your hands. That's all. Physically it's not an intense activity. But the chanting of so many rounds becomes a very heavy, intense activity for the mind. And that exhausts you more than even physical activity. Because controlling mind is very, very difficult. Say 64. Generally to chant 64 rounds, devotees may take 7 to 8 hours. Okay, 8 hours they may take. So 8 hours of absorbing your mind in Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. That's one proposal. Second proposal I'll give you. 8 hours you read Bhagavatam. 8 hours you read Bhagavad Gita. Analyze things. Okay. Or 8 hours you participate in a meeting, Janmashtami meeting, where you are planning where to keep the chapel stand, where to keep the foot wash area, where to keep prasadam pandal, what kind of jewelry to purchase for the deities. So like there are so many services in Janmashtami. You, some 5-6 of you sit together and use your intelligence to plan how to conduct this festival. Or use your intelligence to read scriptures. Okay. So first proposal is engage your mind in chanting Hare Krishna. While chanting Hare Krishna, mind is going everywhere. You have to bring that mind and then focus on the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So which is easier for you? Will you be more focused and attentive while trying to control your mind from all other thoughts and then put for 8 hours, put that mind on chanting Hare Krishna? Or will you be more focused and attentive when you are trying to make a plan for Janmashtami festival or when you are trying to read scriptures? Okay, 8 hours. Which is second, easier for you?
Second one.
Okay. So you agree? Mm-hmm. Absorbing mind, fixing mind on Krishna constantly is more difficult than fixing intelligence on Krishna. Okay. So intelligence is superior to mind. Okay. In the subtle body. And intelligence controls the mind. That's there. But mind is more fickle. Intelligence is more steady. It's more rational. It's more emotional. Okay. So that's why investing emotions in Krishna is much more difficult than investing intelligence in Krishna. Okay. So you analyze with your intelligence, because our intelligence may say 100 things, but your mind may not be able to follow everything. Because emotions are much more finer. When you're emotionally attached to someone, those feelings are more intense than when you are dealing with other people on an intellectual plane. For example, employee or a boss in a company, okay, he is interacting with his employees on an intellectual plane. Okay, this is how we have to manage our project, this and that. Okay, he may have intense meetings how to run the project. So he is dealing with them through intelligence. But when he comes home, he will deal with his wife and children and other family members there with emotions. Although the child may not say something logical, because the father has a lot of emotions for the child, he will spend more time explaining things to the child than the time he will spend with his other employees explaining the project. And here he is getting crores. Here he is not getting anything. But why is he spending time here? Emotions are there. This is much more stronger bonding. Okay. So emotional attachment to Krishna is considered much superior than the attachment that you get in with intelligence. So, ultimately, by studying all Shastra and analyzing Shastra with your intelligence, you are supposed to fix your mind on Krishna. Do smaran of Krishna. Smartavyaha satatam vishnor vismartavyo na jatajit. Always remembering Krishna is the essence of all scriptures. You read all scriptures and then make notes and then memorize shlokas and then do so many things, do so much of analysis, but ultimately if that doesn't lead to absorption in Krishna in mind, then you just are just stopping at intellectual plane only. That's good. Studying Shastra, you can purify your intelligence, no doubt about it. Okay. So that way it's wonderful, wonderfully absorbing yourself in Krishna. However, that should lead us to, that all this intellectual analysis and philosophical analysis should lead us to remembering Krishna always with love, with emotions, with bhava, with prema. So that's why smaranatmika bhakti or fixing mind in Krishna is considered superior to fixing intelligence in Krishna. Now, I gave two examples. One, chanting Hare Krishna for 8 hours, controlling your mind. Second, studying scriptures or discussing how to conduct Janmashtami with your intelligence. You said, first one is difficult, second one is easier. Third one, I'll say. Working, doing some service for 8 hours. Okay, say you have to cook or you have to make garlands. So now planning, may you need a lot of intelligence, analysis. Okay, you may have to defeat another person's plans. You may have to give feedback to other person's plans. And when your plans are not being accepted, you may have to show some humility and all that. But if someone makes all the planning and just tells you what you are supposed to do. Okay, we have made this whole plan of Janmashtami. You just have to engage your senses in executing that plan. Someone else engaged intelligence. You just have to engage your senses. Okay. So you are asked to do Abhishek Seva. So Janmashtami, there are like several kilos of fruits are there. You have to peel them. You have to make juice ready for Abhishek of Radha Krishna. That may take some 7-8 hours. Or you may have to cook. You may have to distribute prasadam. So many thousands of people are coming, 5,000 people, 6,000 people are coming, and you are serving prasadam, 8 hours. So it doesn't take much effort from your side. As much as the effort that it took to plan 8 hours meeting, intense meeting, Janmashtami, 8 hours, 10 people are sitting there, 20 people are sitting there, they're thinking of different departments, how to divert the crowd like this, like that, where to erect the pandal. So which is easier for you? Being in a meeting and planning the whole event, or just taking one portion of it and engaging your senses and doing the seva? Third one is easier. Fine. So engaging senses in Krishna service, engaging intelligence in Krishna service, engaging mind in Krishna service. Three things. Engaging mind is topmost, engaging intelligence is second, and engaging senses is easier. So if you cannot fix your mind on me always, at least fix your intelligence. If you cannot fix your intelligence on me always, at least fix your senses. These are the levels in which Krishna gives us his teachings. Clear? So all three are bhakti only. Acharyas are very merciful to us that they have given us, Prabhupada has given us a proper system where we engage all three. Every day chant, we are chanting 2 hours. Okay, 16 notes we are chanting, Prabhupada said. So we are engaging our mind in Krishna service. And then we are hearing Bhagavatam class for 1 hour in the morning, maybe Gita class for 1 hour in the evening. Or if you are in Vidyapit, you are just hearing classes for 3 hours in a day. And evening Vaishnava character classes. Like that you have some thing for intelligence also. You are absorbing your mind in Krishna. You are trying to absorb your mind in Krishna. You are trying to engage your intelligence in Krishna. And there are other services like prasadam serving is there, and grooming and mopping of the temple hall is there, backup doing that assistant pujari services, washing Krishna's utensils. So many other services are there. So Prabhupada has given a system where we engage our senses, our mind and our intelligence, all three in Krishna's service in different proportions. So eventually we should come to a position where our mind is completely absorbed in Krishna. Externally activities may go on. Because sometimes when you are engaging senses, you may not be engaging your mind also. Senses are engaging, but mind is somewhere else. So, hota hai? Do you, sometimes you feel like that? I felt like that so many times. Senses are doing seva, but mind is somewhere else. Intelligence is somewhere else. Or intelligence is doing seva, but mind is somewhere else. You are analyzing things, but the mind is not absorbed there. Okay? So, it happens. So ultimately we need to invest our mind and emotions in Krishna's service. That is the topmost level of devotional service. So this 8th shloka, mai eva mana adhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya. Two levels it is presenting. One is fixing your mind in Krishna, which is smaranatmika bhakti. fixing your intelligence in Krishna, which is mananatmaka bhakti. Okay. So, what is the result of doing this? In the third and fourth lines, Krishna says, naiva shishyasi mayyeva ata urdhvam na samshayaha. So, thus you will live in me always without a doubt. So, by doing these two things, you will definitely live in Krishna, means you are always with Krishna. When your mind and intelligence are absorbed in Krishna, you are always with Krishna. Fine? So, that is one aspect of this shloka. So, now, Prabhupada says that these two are same. Offering your mind and intelligence to Krishna, in Krishna's service. So, he just clubbed both of them. That's fairly understandable. Okay? Entirely being with Krishna. That is this one, first stage. And Vishnu Thakur gives these two distinctions, Smaranatmika and Mananatmika. Okay? Then, Baldeva Vidyabhushan says, offering your full consciousness, mana and buddhi, in Krishna with complete ease and steadiness. So, Prabhupada and Baldeva Vidyabhushan, their comments are more or less similar. They count these two things as one unit. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes them separate. 8A, 8B. Fine? So, these are the first two stages. Next stage, 9th shloka. Atha chittam samadhatum.
Atha chittam samadhatum.
Nashaknoshi vayisthiram.
Nashaknoshi vayisthiram.
Abhyasa yoge natato.
Abhyasa yoge natato.
Mam ichhaptum dhananjaya.
Mam ichhaptum dhananjaya.
I gave a summary of the entire, these four verses just now. Now we'll go into details. So you understood the 8th shloka that has two parts. The 9th shloka, what happened? Okay. So in the 9th shloka, Krishna presents the next stage. Why next stage has to be presented if you are not fit for the first two stages? Now Krishna gave the second stage, Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya. Now he says, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknosi mayi sthiram. If you cannot put your consciousness, now as I said, Prabhupada covered these two into one, consciousness. Okay, engage your inner self in Krishna. Consciousness in Krishna. So become fully Krishna conscious. That is the 8th shloka. Put these two together. So Atha chittam samadhatum, if you cannot engage your consciousness completely in Krishna, or if you cannot fix your mind and intelligence in Krishna completely, then what is Krishna is doing? Saying, Abhyasa yoge na tato, do Abhyasa yoga. This is Abhyasa, A-B-H. So, the next stage is Abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoge na tato, mam ichhattum dhananjaya. If you do Abhyasa yoga, then what is the result? In this way, mam ichhaptum, you will develop a desire to attain me. You see, Gita Subodhani, everything is clearly mentioned. I cannot write everything here. So, it is, in this way, you can develop desire to attain Krishna. But what exactly is this Abhyasa Yoga? Abhyasa basically is practice. Here, you have to fix your mind on Krishna. You are unable to fix your mind on Krishna. So, do Abhyasa. Try to fix your mind on Krishna. Abhyasa literally is practice. You should practice to fix your mind on Krishna. Okay, if you cannot fix your mind on me without deviation, then endeavor to fix your mind on Krishna by following the regulative principles of sadhana bhakti. So this is try to fix mind. Okay. Abhyasa. What is the trying called? That is sadhana bhakti. So abhyasa means practice. Sadhana means practice. Basically, Krishna is saying, if you are not perfect in fixing your mind, at least do sadhana. Try to fix your mind by practice. Okay, at least practice karo. So, this is called sadhana bhakti. And in that sadhana bhakti, what happens? Here you are able to fix your mind completely. But in this stage, mind is going somewhere else. You are trying to bring the mind back and focus on Krishna. You understand? Here the mind is not deviated. There is no deviation here. Here there is a lot of distraction, but you are bringing the mind back and trying to put on Krishna. Getting right? So this is called practice stage, sadhana bhakti. So these two are same, but this is the perfect stage, this is practice stage. Fine? So, This is called Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. This is Smaranatmika Bhakti, Maranatmika Bhakti, this is Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. You're able to see? Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. So, what does it mean to do Abhyasa Yoga? Basically, we need to follow the guidance of Guru. So here, Guru comes into picture. You follow the guidance of Guru and follow all the prescribed practices of Bhakti Yoga, like chanting the holy names of Krishna, offering flowers to Krishna, offering food to Krishna, and taking prasadam, hearing scriptures. All these things are included in this Abhyasa or Sadhana Bhakti that we are all doing every day. Many of us are not on this level of fixing our mind and intelligence completely on Krishna. We are trying to fix our mind on Krishna by doing various elements of sadhana. Right? So these three types, what are the three types? Smaranatmika Bhakti, Mananatmika Bhakti, Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. Three types of Bhakti Krishna spoke in 8th and 9th verses. These three types are actually performed internally with mind and intelligence. Senses are not yet involved here. So internally they are performed. So intelligent and inoffensive people can perform them easily. While less intelligent people find it very difficult to do this. So as the mind is fickle like wind, one may not be able to restrain it. So for those who cannot even gradually fix mind by practice, Krishna suggests another option. So this is trying to gradually fix your mind on Krishna. Now you can't do this also. Then the next sloka is there. Abhyasepi asamarthopi.
Abhyasepi asamarthopi.
Matkarma paramo bhava.
Matkarma paramo bhava.
Madartham api karmani.
Madartham api karmani.
Kurvan siddhim avapsyasi.
Kurvan siddhim avapsyasi.
Abhyasepi asamarthopi. If you cannot even do Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti also, asamartha means incapable of doing. Abhyasepi asamarthopi. Matkarma paramo bhava. So Krishna gives the next level. He is giving concession. So that is 10th sloka. You are able to see this? So mat karma paramo bhava. So mat karma. So at least work for Krishna. Karma is working, activity. Mat karma means working for Krishna. Okay, you offer your work as a contribution to Krishna's seva. So this is the next level of devotional service. So if sadhana bhakti is also difficult for you. Sadhana bhakti basically is practicing to fix your mind on Krishna. That is also done internally. But if you can't do that, at least work. Work means senses are involved. Next stage is involving the senses. So if you cannot practice sadhana bhakti, then just try to perform all your activities for Krishna's pleasure, mat karma paramo bhava. Thus your mind is not on me. Okay, though your mind is not on me. See this. Madartham api karmani. Madartham means for my sake. Api karmani means you are doing all your activities. Kurvan siddhim avapsasi. And even by doing this also you will get siddhi. Means perfection. Okay. So, in this, this is work for Krishna. So, work for Krishna, that is the next stage. So, this work for Krishna could involve offering charity to build Krishna's temples, okay, or publish books, or doing other work even without remembering Krishna. So, here an endeavor to remember Krishna is there. Here that endeavor to remember Krishna is also not there. You are getting right? So, here you are trying to, now, what is the difference when you are plucking flowers? And here also senses are involved. Abhyasa Rupa mein senses are involved. But the focus is more on the mind, not on the senses. Here senses are involved. Focus is more on the senses, not on the mind. Here at least there is an attempt in Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. At least you are making an attempt to fix your mind on Krishna by engaging your senses. But in Matkarma Paramo Bhakti, you are focusing on your activity and offering the results of that activity to Krishna, although your mind is somewhere else. Okay. Where are we? We can decide. Okay. But work for Krishna. We are supposed to be doing sadhana bhakti at least. So this is work for Krishna. Here senses are the focus and in this mind is the focus. So if you cannot do that also, those who can do bhakti both by internal and external senses are outstanding. So these first three stages of smaranatmika bhakti, mananatmika bhakti and sadhana bhakti or abhyasarupa bhakti, so these three are done on the level of internal senses, internal mind or intelligence. But this matkarma parma is done externally with the senses, although mind is not focused. But all four are exalted, all four are great. Okay. But the one may not be able to even work for Krishna also, for social reasons or family reasons or religious considerations or other impediments. So many other things are there. Even if you do some work and get some, you know, results of that work and offer them to Krishna, there are some people who are always bothering you. Okay. So there, because of social and other customs, you may not be able to do. Some other impediments may come. So Krishna will advise them, at least your sacrifice, your results for me, if not completely like this, just a percentage of it. So work for Krishna means you are working and you are offering everything to Krishna. If you cannot offer everything to Krishna, everything that you perform, there has some result, you offer every result to Krishna. But if you can't do that, at least offer some portion, little portion you offer. Okay, that is the next stage. 11th shloka. अथैतद् अपि अशक्तोसि
अष्टैतद् अपि अशक्तोसि
कर्तुं मद्योगमाश्रितः
सर्वकर्मफलत्यागं
ततः कुरु यथात्मवान् अथैतद् अपि अशक्तोसि इफ् यू आर् इन्केपबल् आफ् दाट् आल्सो इफ् यू आर् अनेबल् टु डू इवन् मत्कर्म परम वर्क् फर् कृष्ण आल्सो देन् कृष्ण सेस् that then try to give up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. So this is the 11th shloka where Krishna says sarva karma falatyagam. See the third line. Sarva karma falatyagam. Okay. So this is basically detachment or renunciation or giving up results. Okay, you can just, that is better. I'm able to write. So give up the results of your work.
You can call Nishkama or
Nishkama. Yeah, you can call like that. Correct. So sarva karma falatyaga means give up results of your work. At least for some good cause. Even if you are unable to contribute for Krishna's service, give them up for some good cause. Show some selflessness. Don't be so self-centered. At least do this much. So doing nishkama karma offered to Krishna. That's what is mentioned here. Okay. So this is what is described in the first six chapters also. Nishkama karma. In the first six chapters, engaging your mind in intelligence and sadhana bhakti, these are not very much discussed. They may come as spikes here and there. But for mainly Krishna is speaking about nishkama karma. This stage. Sarva karma falatyagam. And mat karma parama. A combination of these two Krishna describes in the first six chapters. Okay. So now first four shlokas are clear. Okay, the stages. So we'll summarize them once again based on the commentaries of all three acharyas. Okay. I have referred to, for just to make this one chart, I had spent several days. At least the 12th shloka is quite technical and it's little difficult to decipher. So 8, 9, 10, 11 we'll discuss. After that I'll exclusively focus on 12th shloka. 8, 9, 10, 11 we'll discuss based on Prabhupada's comments, Chakravartipa's comments and Baldev Vidyabhushan's comments just now. Okay. I kind of covered everything in this, but I'll summarize once again. First 8th shloka mein Krishna says, Mayyeva mana adhatsva. Fix your mind in me. May buddhim niveshya. Fix your intelligence in me. Prabhupada says, fix your mind and intelligence in me. Or fix your consciousness in me. Baldev Vidyabhushan also says the same thing. Fix your consciousness in me. That is the topmost stage. Both are combined. And if you cannot do that, 9th shloka, Prabhupada says, do sadhana bhakti or practice regulative principles of bhakti yoga to develop desire to attain Krishna. Follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, Prabhupada writes. That is, 9th shloka. In the 10th shloka, Krishna says, Matkarma Paramo Bhava. If you cannot even do sadhana bhakti or follow regulative principles, at least work for Krishna by contributing something to his service. 11th shloka, Prabhupada says, if you cannot even work for Krishna by contributing some results of your work for Krishna's seva, at least give up results for some good cause. Sarva karma falatyagam. So this is how Prabhupada explains these four shlokas, four stages. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in this way. First he says, Mayyeva mana adhatsva, fixing your mind in Krishna is smaranatmika bhakti. Then may buddhim niveshaya, fixing your intelligence in Krishna is mananatmika bhakti. Abhyasa rupa. Next, 9th shloka. If you cannot do this maranatmika and maranatmika bhakti, at least do abhyasa rupa bhakti. Means endeavor to bring your mind back whenever it gets distracted and put the mind on Krishna. So, you repeatedly endeavor to fix your mind on Krishna. If you cannot effortlessly fix. Then, 10th shloka. Matkarma paramo bhava. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, directly serve Krishna with external senses, even if the mind is not on him. Then 11th shloka, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this is nishkama karma. This is nishkama karma. Sarva karma falatyagam is basically nishkama karma, which is offered to Krishna. And that's what is described in the first 6 chapters. So this is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's perspective. Prabhupada doesn't give this smaranatmika, maranatmika, abhyasa rupa, these technical terms. But there is a lot of overlap between these two. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, whatever Prabhupada has written, similar thing is found in Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary. So, 8th shloka, Mayyeva manadhasva may buddhim niveshaya, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, offer your consciousness completely to Krishna. Then 9th shloka, Abhyasa Rupa, here Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, withdraw the mind by repeated practice and gradually fixing it on Krishna. Abhyasa Rupa, somewhat similar. All three acharyas are saying something similar here. Then, Matkarma Paramobhava means offering activities to Krishna. Same as what Prabhupada said. Sarva Karma Falatyagam, 11th shloka. That means perform all activities devoid of desire for results with a controlled mind. It's another way of saying it. So, give up the results. Or don't have any attachment to the results. So, I said give up. This give up results is Prabhupada says. Don't be attached to the results is Baladeva Vidyabhushan. More or less same. You understood? All are more or less agreeing to the same thing. Except that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur divided the first stage into two parts. And gave very nice technical terms also. Smaranatmika, Maranatmika, Abhyasa Rupa and all that. So these four verses are clear. Now we will discuss the 12th shloka. 12th shloka is little difficult to understand. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat.
Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat.
Jnana dhyanam visishyate.
Jnana dhyanam visishyate.
Tyag dhyanat karma falatyagah.
Dhyanat karma falatyagah.
Tyagat shantiranantaram.
Tyagat shantiranantaram.
First discuss the simple literal meaning, basic meaning. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Jnanam means knowledge. Abhyasa means practice. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means knowledge is better than practice. Jnana is better than abhyasa. Fine? Simple meaning. Next, jnana dhyanam visishyate. Jnana is knowledge. Dhyana is meditation. So meditation is better than knowledge. Okay? Meditation is better than knowledge. Knowledge is better than practice, abhyasa. Means, dhyana is better than jnana, jnana is better than abhyasa. Okay. Third line. Dhyanat karma falatyagah. Karma falatyaga is renunciation. Renunciation of results of your work. So, renunciation of fruits of work is better than meditation. Better than dhyana. So, here comes the glitch. Here comes some confusion. So, now, Dhyana is better than jnana, understood. Jnana is better than abhyasa, that is also understood. So, abhyasa has a lot of activity. Jnana has a lot of analysis, intelligence is engaged. Dhyana is mind. So, engaging mind is greater than engaging intelligence. Engaging intelligence is greater than engaging senses. So, engaging senses is the lowest. or from other perspective, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. Dhyana yoga is greater than jnana yoga. Jnana yoga is greater than karma yoga. Clear? So, abhyasa, jnana, dhyana. These are like progressive stages. Dhyana is better than jnana, jnana is better than abhyasa. That is clear to understand. But how can this tyaga become greater than dhyana? So that's the question. I'll discuss it. Okay. So tyaga shantir anantaram. Last line says, the result of tyaga or renunciation is one can attain peace of mind. I just gave the literal meaning. But what exactly is the intent of Krishna by saying this, we'll discuss according to the perspective of all the three acharyas. You understood the meaning? Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means knowledge is better than practice. Jnana dhyanam visishyati means meditation is better than knowledge. And dhyanat karma falatyaga means karma falatyaga, renunciation is better than meditation. Then tyagat shantiranantaram means the result of renunciation is you get shanti, peace. Simple meaning. So that makes it abhyasa, jnana, dhyana, tyaga. Four times. So these are all on a progressive levels. Or progressive levels, they are higher than each other. So tyaga is highest. Next is dhyana. Next is jnana. Next is abhyasa. This is the progression given in this shloka. How is it justified? Now let's analyze every line. First, we'll discuss from Prabhupada's perspective. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means, for those who cannot follow the principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate jnana. Fine. What is abhyasa? Practicing Krishna consciousness. This is the abhyasa. This is the stage. You are doing sadhana bhakti, trying to fix your mind on Krishna. If you cannot fix your mind on Krishna, if you cannot try to fix your mind on Krishna, if you cannot practice to fix your mind on Krishna, then cultivating knowledge is better for you. Okay? So, for those who cannot cultivate principles of Krishna consciousness, it is better to cultivate jnana. So, it's like a conditional statement. Then, jnana dhyanam visishyati. How is it understood? Dhyana is better than jnana because knowledge gradually develops into meditation. Okay, earlier also in the initial chapters we have seen, jnana yoga is described mainly in the 4th chapter. Then 6th chapter has jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. So when your knowledge matures, it comes into devotion. When your prescribed duties, practice of prescribed duties is accompanied with detachment, you will come to the stage of jnana. And if your knowledge matures, you will come to the stage of dhyana or meditation. That we have discussed earlier. Okay. So same thing is mentioned here. Then dhyana karma falatyaga means, if one cannot do even meditation, then one can renounce the results of fruitive activity. Now, the third line, dhyana karma falatyaga, if you cannot do dhyana, then do karma falatyaga. So, it's not from an absolute perspective. It is from the perspective of the practitioner. Okay, tell me this. Lifting a 50 kilo sack, bag, is considered greater, or lifting a 25 kilo bag is considered greater? 50 kilo. Because that needs more strength. Okay. So if you are lifting 50 kilo bag, you are considered stronger. And if he is lifting only 25 kilo bag, he is considered little less stronger. Right? But point is, I am telling you now, you are able to lift only 25 kilos. If you cannot lift 50 kilo bag, lifting 25 kilo bag is better for you. What suits you more is lifting 25 kilo bag. If you attempt to lift 50 kilo bag, your back will break. Is it not? So that does not make 50 kilo bag inferior to 25 kilo bag. 50 kilo bag is better than 25 kilo bag. That is there. It's greater. It's double the quantity. The contents inside the bag are like double the quantity of this bag. So it is not an absolute comparison between dhyana and karma falatyaga. It is a comparison between the practitioners of dhyana and karma falatyaga. If you are not fit for dhyana, dhyana is basically meditating on Krishna. If you are not ready for meditating on Krishna, at least give up your results of activities, tyaga. So in that sense, dhyana, dhyanat karma falatyaga. Karma falatyaga is better than dhyana. In that sense, renunciation is better than meditation. Is it clear? It is from the practitioner's perspective, not from an absolute perspective. Somebody may say, iPhone is the best phone, and there is another phone, some other model is there, which may not be as great as this. But to purchase iPhone, you may need 50,000 or 70,000. And to purchase this normal phone, you may just need 5,000. Now, if you say, for you this normal phone is better than iPhone. I mean, it's not a absolute comparison between iPhone and normal phone. It is according to your pocket. How much money do you have in your pocket? If you don't have 7,000, 70,000, at least give 7,000 and purchase a normal mobile. And be happy. For you, that is better. Oh, that has so many features, that is better. How can you say that this is better? I am not comparing between those two phones. I am just concerned about what suits you better. So you don't have so much money to purchase something very expensive. You purchase what you can afford, that sense. If you don't have that much of maturity and mind control to meditate on Krishna, absorb in dhyana of Krishna, at least do karma phalatyaga. At least give up the results of your activities. Whatever activities you are doing, just offer the results to Krishna. That's why tyaga is better than dhyana for you. If you are not fit for dhyana, then tyaga is better. That does not make tyaga better than dhyana. Is it clear? So then tyaga chantir anantaram, by renunciation one can attain peace. That is a simple meaning. So this is what Prabhupada says about these things. Is it clear? 12th sloka is clear according to Prabhupada's perspective. So shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means, yes, for those who cannot do abhyasa, practice devotional service, at least cultivate jnana, knowledge of the Lord. If you cannot, definitely jnana is better than jnana, because absorption in Krishna, meditation on Krishna is better than cultivating knowledge about Krishna only. So you cultivate knowledge about Krishna, ultimately it should lead to meditation on Krishna, developing love for Krishna. But if you are not ready for jnana, then come to at least offering your results of your activities. So this is Prabhupada's perspective. Now let's discuss Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's perspective. He says, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means, jnanam, he refers to this one, Maranatmika Bhakti. For Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the jnanam word in the 12th sloka refers to Maranatmika Bhakti. Okay? And is better than abhyasa. Abhyasa is this one, right? Abhyasa Rupa Bhakti. So definitely, Mananatmika Bhakti is better than Abhyasarup Bhakti. Vishnu Chakravarti is very clear in his point. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means, this jnanam is better than Abhyasa. Is it clear? Mananatmika Bhakti is better than Abhyasarup Bhakti. See the Acharya's perspective. What Vishnu Chakravarti is trying to emphasize. So Prabhupada says that if you are not able to do this, if you are not able to follow the principles of Bhakti Yoga, then you can always cultivate knowledge about the Lord. You are unable to practice, at least gather some knowledge. Prabhupada presented from that perspective. But here, Vishnu Chakravarti says, Maranatmika Bhakti is superior to Abhyasarup Bhakti. Then, Jnana Dhyanam Vishishyati. For Chakravarti Pad, Jnana is this one, Maranatmika Bhakti. Dhyana means Maranatmika Bhakti. Okay? Smaranatmika Bhakti is superior to Maranatmika Bhakti. That's the meaning of the second line. Is it clear? Okay. We can see Bhagavad Gita Subodhana. Everything is written. I'm not writing yet here. Every line is written there. Next, Dhyanat Karma Falatyaga. You know what does Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur say? By Dhyana is this one for him. Smaranatmika Bhakti. By Dhyana, one can develop distaste from fruits of action. Dhyanat Karma Falatyaga. Simple Sanskrit. Dhyanat means that the art. That is used not only to compare two items, that is also used to, that is not just used to establish the superiority of one item over the other. It is also used to indicate that this is a result of the other thing. Dhyanat, by dhyana, karma falatyaga. You develop a distaste or disinterest in karma phala, in the results of your activities. Means, by meditation on Krishna, by smaranatmika bhakti, you will not be obsessed with the desire to enjoy the fruits of your action. Clear? Earlier, dhyanat karma falatyaga means, karma falatyaga is better than dhyana. So, that dhyanat that is used to compare dhyana and karma phalatyaga. Here karma phalatyaga is described as a result of dhyana. Clear? Krishna Chaitanya Thakur says. Then tyaga shantir anantaram, by such distaste, one attains peace. How do you attain peace? In the form of stopping senses from dwelling on the sense objects, except Krishna's form and Krishna's qualities. Your mind is totally absorbed in Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, so you are not at all showing any taste or interest in other things. Is it clear? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's perspective is clear on 12th sloka. Mm-hmm. Then let's come to Baladeva Vidyabhushan's perspective, which is more or less same as Prabhupada's, because Prabhupada refers to Baladeva Vidyabhushan a lot. So 12th sloka, first line, Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat. Only one shloka we are referring to it multiple times. This fourth time we are going to it. Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat means, if abhyasa or practicing remembrance of Krishna is difficult, then one may cultivate jnana. Abhyasa is basically trying to fix your mind on Krishna. You are trying to fix your mind on Krishna. Mind is not getting fixed. You are endeavoring. Okay, fine. At least fix your intelligence on Krishna. So this is highest. Fixing your mind in Krishna is highest. And you are trying to attain that through sadhana bhakti. Trying to fix your mind on Krishna. This is also getting difficult. Trying. Then come to intelligence part. Engage jnana. You understood the whole thing? So this is fixing your mind on Krishna effortlessly. And this is endeavoring to fix your mind on Krishna. But you gave up on the mind. It's getting too difficult for you. Then better you focus your intelligence on Krishna. At least plan for Krishna. Okay. So then jnana dhyanam visishyate. Dhyana or practice of meditation on Atma is preferable if jnana or realization of Atma is difficult to accomplish. Okay. So if jnana is difficult for you, if this is difficult for you, at least now you do dhyana. So here he says that it's preferable to. Dhyana is preferable to jnana. Means dhyana, from the practitioner's perspective, cultivating knowledge of Krishna is little difficult sometimes. So then you meditate on Krishna. Earlier he said, practicing to fix your mind on Krishna is difficult, then you cultivate knowledge of Krishna. But if cultivating knowledge of Krishna is difficult, then you do dhyana, meditation. So one of them you do. Dhyana or practice of meditation on Atma is preferable if jnana or realization of Atma is difficult. Here, there, through jnana you can realize Atma. Baladeva Vidyabhushan brings in Atma a lot. By jnana you realize Atma. That is difficult to accomplish. By dhyana, you practice meditation on Atma. Okay? That's what he says. That's how dhyana is preferable to jnana. Next, dhyana karma falatyaga. Better than unsuccessful practice of meditation is giving up results. Then, tyaga shanti anantaram. From giving up results of work, you can get shanti. Here is purification of mind, purification of Atma. That's what Baladeva Vidyabhushan says. That is the result. Okay? At least you follow one perspective. We have discussed several perspectives of this one shloka only. But you know the essence. Bhakti is the topmost. And endeavor to fix your mind on Krishna is the topmost. I mean, fixing your mind on Krishna is the topmost. If you can't, fix your intelligence. If you can't, try to fix your mind. If you can't do that, at least work for Krishna by engaging your senses. If you can't do that also, at least give up the results of your work. Be detached. Do Nishkama Karma Yoga. So these are the various stages. And 12th sloka, Krishna just summarizes it, everything. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan and Prabhupada has given different perspectives. So this is one of the most technical aspects of 12th chapter and entire Bhagavad Gita also in one sense. So we try to cover this. And after a short break, we will take 13 to 20, the qualities that endear one to Krishna. These five verses are clear. Thank you. Hare Krishna.